Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, and on this show this time, we're going to be talking about some issues that many Native Americans in our area face, and also about a big celebration coming up in downtown Portland. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Joe Finkbonner. Joe is the executive director of the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. Hi there, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Gary. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So let's first get started by you telling me, what is the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board?
It's a good question, Gary, and it's often confusing because people hear the name Portland area in our entire name, and that's a little bit confusing for folks because they think it only applies to the Portland metropolitan area. But we really are a consortium of the 43 federally recognized tribes in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, and we conduct public health activities for all the tribes in those three respective states.
That's one thing I didn't realize, is that there are 43 federally recognized tribes in the three state area.
Yeah, 29 in Washington, 9 in Oregon, and 5 in Idaho.
That's a lot. I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they tend to be smaller tribes in the Northwest versus other parts of the United States. You know, people tend to think of tribes like Navajo or Cherokee or Choctaw, which tend to have a larger population. But the tribes in the Northwest tend to be smaller in size, the largest being the Yakima and the Colville, which are about 15,000 and 11,000 respectively. And the average size of our tribes in the Northwest is about 2,500 members.
Give me an idea of some of the work that you guys do. What kind of work are you doing?
We do a variety of different things, everything from legislative and policy watch, where we notify our tribes of any pending legislation, either in their respective states or federal legislation that might be going on that might impact the administration of their health programs or their health systems. We also watch out for funding for that tribes might be eligible to, and invite them to partner with us in going after that funding, or to do it completely on their own if they have the infrastructure and ability to do so. We also operate one of 12 epidemiology centers that focus specifically on American Indian and Alaska Native health status. So we'll do projects like surveillance projects, which is really a fancy word for us to say that we will monitor either specific measures of health, and health being not just the treatment of disease, but health as in terms of safety, you know, protecting themselves, immunization projects, child safety seat monitoring to make sure that our tribes and their members are not only utilizing child safety seats, but also addressing their kids in there appropriately. So we'll do a variety of different projects locally at the tribal sites, and really help them to really not only protect them from illness, but also advance their public health through a variety of different activities.
Can you tell me about some of the history? When did the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board get started?
We started in 1972. and really was an advisory type of board to the Indian Health Services and to facilitate actual consultation, which is really an enhanced form of communication between the federal government and the tribes of the Northwest. So that was the original purpose of our board, and since that time, it has really evolved to tribes sort of taking over the responsibility and administration of their own health programs and using the resources that the federal government typically spent on delivering care, but instead contracting or compacting those funds and administering those services themselves. It really has advanced the health status of the tribes of the Northwest, not only with our public health and our epidemiology center, but also because the tribes are now developing their own health plans and setting priorities based on what their local community needs are, rather than what the priorities and needs might be for the IHS headquarters in Rockville, Maryland. So it has really put a lot of emphasis of focusing resources on what the community wants to see addressed.
So since 1972, you've seen some probably pretty significant progress.
We have. Back in 72, the average life expectancy of an American Native male was 48 years of age. And that has changed significantly to the modern day. We're only about 4 or 5 years less than the general population. So a lot of things related to not only its treatment of illness, but advancing public health like water and sewer and access to immunizations. So a lot of public health activities that have really sustained and lengthened the life expectancy of an American Indian that's born today.
Tell me, what are some of the most important issues facing American Natives today?
Diabetes, everybody knows that. I shouldn't assume that everybody does, but it's fairly well known that diabetes is a chronic disease that impacts the Native American population at a greater prevalence than it does the general population. And the chronic illnesses that go along with diabetes, the all the neuropathies that can happen, the below knee amputations, the kidney dialysis, and other long-term chronic quality of life issues that can go when you have been suffering from diabetes for a prolonged period of time. That's one. Another is that we are really looking at currently addressing and trying to go after some of the funding for opioid abuse in our populations, just like other populations that have been impacted by this epidemic, that American Indians have also been, have succumbed to that opioid addiction and even to a point where they are using illicit drugs. And so we are trying to combat it just like the rest of the population of how do we deal with this evil affliction that has happened to our communities and do it in a manner that's respectful and reduce the stigma so that people seek out treatment and live a healthy lifestyle rather than living the rest of their life addicted to an opioid.
Certainly seems like an opioid epidemic right now, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It's tragic in terms of how it all happens, but it happens. And I think that the emphasis that public health officials are trying to have is, one, let's destigmatize it so that people realize that it can happen, and that you're not weak because it's happened to you, but instead let's develop solutions on how we combat this. Everything from having Narcan available for those times when somebody may have overdosed, we can save their life, and then hopefully they seek treatment after that and deal with that addiction. And then are a functional part of their communities where they're, back to working and employing or creating an income for their families, sustain a lifestyle, and really everything that we want people to live for a long and happy life.
Could you talk to us about some of the programs and projects you guys have going on?
We have a diabetes project. So our project and focus in that is really to help the tribe set up diabetes registries and monitor the standards of care within their own clinic to make sure that they are meeting the American Diabetes Association standards of care for a diabetic, including foot exams, eye exams, drawing lipids and blood pressure to make sure that our patients are within normal limits so that we can reduce morbidity and mortality in those populations that are afflicted. We have a oral health or dental support project that we work with our tribes and our dental sites to help them not only with infection control, but also oral health promotion and prevention of dental caries, and addressing and giving them information that really strengthen their services that they can provide to their tribal communities, and many, many more, including our epidemiology and research arm, where we're able, one of the things that, let me back up a little bit, Gary, and talk about, every summer we've been able to offer a summer institute in which we engage tribes from all over the United States and invite them to come to our organization for 3 weeks during the summer. And we have instructors from throughout the United States and Southwest and Northwest and Johns Hopkins and that come for 3 weeks here and our instructors and classes and really to help to in workforce development for our tribal public health employees throughout the U.S. We typically have between 100 and 120 public health professionals that show up during that three-week period and take week-long classes and really go back to their home and advance their efforts in supplying public health services to their community because of what they've been able to learn here during the three-week summer institute. We also have our diabetes project works with in partnership with Nike, and we invite folks, again, from throughout the U.S., to really learn the latest and greatest in terms of how to work with their populations on increasing physical activity. Of course, you know that controlling blood sugar is only one aspect of the diabetes, also getting them active and mobile so that they can reduce their own morbidity and mortality by increasing the amount of exercise that they do. And it doesn't need to be strenuous exercise. It can be simply walking 20 to 30 minutes a day, and that can advance their health status significantly in terms of their quality of life. And there are several other projects. I invite folks to take a look at our website and really check out some of the projects that we have. And I think that they'll be impressed with what we're able to do with the limited resources that we have.
We're talking today with Joe Finkbonner, Executive Director of the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. Now, Joe, tell me, how is the board made up? Who is a member of the board?
Gary, we have each of our tribes. In reality, we are owned by each of the tribes in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, so the 43 federally recognized tribes that I mentioned earlier. And each tribe appoints through a tribal resolution or a letter from their government head, either their tribal chair or their tribal president, depending on the nature of their government structure, that says, this is our representative that's going to sit on your board and speak to the health issues that are going on in our tribal communities and vote in a manner that will advance the systems that are in place for their respective tribes. So we'll bring to them policy issues or other types of issues, even educational things and how we deal with funding that might come to the Northwest that it advances the individual needs of the respective tribes, but also collectively. We look to maximize services throughout the Northwest. And one example of that is our tribes have been working for about the last 8 to 10 years and try to create these three regional specialty centers in which we're able to access those for either same-day treatment or diagnostic screening that would advance and stretch the resources that are available within each of the tribal communities. We would have those specialty centers strategically located in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho so that it would serve, maximize not only the population that would be able to access that, but to shorten the distance in which somebody would have to travel to be able to get those services as well.
It seems like the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board has kind of four main areas of functional areas, I suppose. And we've talked a little bit about health promotion and disease prevention, but let's talk about the other three. How about legislative and policy analysis?
Yeah, we've got a good little shop here in terms of the folks that we have that work on our legislative and policy analysis. We've got two folks that are experts in Indian health and Indian policy that travel from D.C. to each of the state capitals and really work with our tribes to look at legislative bills that might be in place and identify what those impacts will be. An example recently that we've been working on is a couple of that Indian Health Services recently had money that was appropriated to it that would deal with the Indian Healthcare Improvement Fund. And what that fund is a fund that's helped to address the funding allocation disparity that happens from area to area. And we looked at different formulas, and these two really brilliant people that were involved in this looked at the formulas that are in place and how they allocate that funding to bring everybody up to the same level and do the analysis to say, how is this best going to serve the tribes in the Northwest, and what are the areas that we really need to be mindful of so that it really lifts the level of the tide for all the tribes and not just float an individual boat, because that doesn't benefit anybody if we just have a couple of tribes that are gaining from it or a couple of areas that are gaining for it. But we really want to take those tribes that are funded at the lowest level and lift them up so that we all have that ability to have an equity in our treatment of care for our communities.
One of the other areas is training and technical assistance. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I did a little bit in terms of talking about our Summer Institute. We do that every year for 3 weeks, but we also have just individual training sessions that we have a wonderful training center here that's set up with terminals. And we do everything from statistical software like SAS and SPSS, which are software applications that people use for really analysis of the data that they have in terms of their own clinic information, or even if they've done a surveillance project and they have information like how many people below the age of 25, eat five fruits and vegetables every day. And you can do these different types of analysis for not only monitoring health status, but also even forecasting what you think your services might be in 5 or 10 or 15 years from now based on that information that you gather. So we do that in our training center here at the board. And like I said, it's everything from statistical software to working with the health information system that they have and teaching different modules that are a part of that health information system. Updating people training because staff turnover happens in our tribal clinics. So we invite our tribes to send their new workforce to us, and we will send them through a really wonderful courses that we have here that would advance their knowledge so that when they go back home, they are struggling less to understand sometimes these very complicated systems, but instead we have a small enough classroom that it's very interactive.
And the final area is surveillance and research. Tell me about that.
Yeah, our epidemiology center, we've got a wonderful group of researchers that are here that work with our tribes in surveillance projects like monitoring child safety seats. We also have done some things on toddler tooth decay, where we've done analysis of the level of dental caries that happens as a precursor for obesity later in life. So we're really looking at let's address that short-term measurable status of tooth decay and how that translates because of the caloric-rich environment that might be present to obesity later in life, which then we all know increases your risk for diabetes and other chronic disease. So we are really trying to help give our tribes information well enough in advance that they can make interventions and improve the health status of their communities.
So much education that, frankly, everybody could use, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's very generalizable. And, once you have that information, it allows you to set up those interventions to do something about it.
Yeah, information is power.
It is.
So tell me about, you have something coming up, Indian Day celebration. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Indian Day really started I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think it was 2006. Yeah, it was. So 12 years ago. And it was, President Ronald Reagan had announced that there was going to be a National Indian Day, which was the fourth Friday of September. And nothing really is done about it or said about it. And we thought that what a wonderful way to really draw attention to not only all of the great Indian organizations that we have in the Northwest, but also give an opportunity to share some of our culture that we are very proud of, and what makes us special, at least what we believe in terms of our unique culture, how we love to share and really have fellowship with everyone. And so we thought there was no better place to do that than in the living room of Portland, and that's down at Pioneer Square. And certainly once those drums get going for the powwow, it really draws a lot of people in, because that's just like a heartbeat when you hear those drums, that people start gravitating to find out what's going on, and they really embrace not only the dancing but also the vendors that will be set up in the square.
What day again was the event?
It's usually the fourth Friday of September, but this year, because of other scheduling conflicts with Pioneer Square, we had to move that, and it's going to be on September 7th, which is Friday.
Yeah, I would imagine Pioneer Square is a hard place to get into. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, especially around the end of summer. You know, that's a difficult time to schedule anything short notice. But we try to get them usually well enough in advance. And this year we just got ousted by another event that was going there. So
are you inviting the public at large to come and take part?
Absolutely. I hope everybody does have a chance to come down and even just walk through, maybe check out the vendors. And if the dancers are going, you'll see a little bit of our culture and our celebration that happens. And, you know, there'll be food and lots of jewelry and other types of crafts that are down there. And I hope everybody has a chance to, if on their commute home, if they're taking the Max Line home or any other way that they happen to be swinging by Pioneer Square, that they'll stop in for a little bit and just enjoy the time.
If our listeners have never been before, kind of give us an idea of what happens when you walk through the gates. What are you going to see?
You walk into Pioneer Square from either Broadway or 6th Avenue, and you're going to see that there'll be tables set up that are not only will have information about some of our tribal programs and our other tribal organizations that are in Portland. OHS usually shows up, and they had a hearing clinic that was there. They've done other different things, and OHSU has been a partner with us on several projects with our tribes, so oftentimes they'll put information out then how they've worked with us, with our tribes, and helped to recruit for some of our projects. And then there'll be lots of vendors selling everything from, drawings and paintings to Indian clothing that have specific tribal designs on them, or jewelry, and those are always a big hit with folks when they're walking around. They see that there are lots of just beautiful jewelry that's out on the tables, and then there'll be a few food vendors that are down there selling everything from Indian tacos, which is the fry bread with ground beef, and other accessories that you throw on there depending on your liking. And it's a wonderful time to not only immerse yourself in the culture, but also maybe pick up an early Christmas present if you see something down there that you like.
Ah, good idea. A powwow. Tell me, what is a powwow?
Powwow, there are a couple of types of powwow. There are the spiritual powwows that usually take place in the winter that are more private, that the tribe does as part of its healing process and spiritual healing. And then there's the celebratory powwows that happen that all of us think about, like the Delta Park in June. And then this powwow is just a short version of that. It's a celebratory powwow where we'll have dancers and drummers down there. They'll sing songs, different types of songs, and we'll even invite people down from the crowd if they want to, dance with some of our dancers. It's a wonderful time, and we hope that everybody has a chance to come down and just enjoy some of our culture and what a thriving community that the Native culture is here in the Northwest.
And can I assume it's a pretty family-friendly event?
Absolutely, very family-friendly, drug and alcohol-free event. We invite people to come down and spend as much time as they would like to, and certainly stick around and ask questions. If there's anything you don't understand, we invite people to just freely ask questions. We understand that the tribal culture might be new to some people, and we want people to understand what we're doing and why it's important to us.
That's great, and I would imagine kids have such a curious mind. You have lots of things for kids going on?
We do. We usually have a tiny tots section that happens, and they'll set up different activities for the kids. And we also invite the youngsters, if they want to partake in the dancing, that we'll have a few tiny tot dances that go on so that they can get out there and join the rest of the dancers out on the floor.
In the last little bit we have here, Joe, tell us, what would you like people to take away from the Indian Day celebration?
it's just a wonderful celebration of our culture, and really to let people know that we're here and we're thriving, and that despite the adversity that we face in terms of our health status and you know many other things that are going on in our tribal communities, that we're alive and well, and we're a part of the community that is called Portland, and we invite our neighbors and our friends and our family to come down and celebrate with us.
And give me the time and date and location one more time.
Yeah, Friday, September 7th. We start setting up early in the morning, and then the vendors are always there early. So I know at noon we have the Aztec dancers that are going to put on a little bit of exhibition. And I think they're scheduled twice, at noon and at 6 p.m. So if you miss them at the lunch hour and you're getting off later, they'll do their exhibition again at 6 p.m. in the evening.
Sounds pretty awesome. If somebody's looking for more information about the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, where's the best place to go?
Invite them to our website. It's www.npaihb.org. There's lots of information on there, not only about our organization and the projects that we have, but also you can see links to our tribes and give a little bit of information, not only about what their health clinic might be like, but we invite our tribes to edit those pages and share whatever information that they would like the general population to see.
It looks like lots of information and resources, too, and even careers.
Absolutely. We post jobs for all of our tribes, including our own organization. When we have vacancies, we post in it. And it's very well traveled. We get a lot of hits on our website. And so, you know, certainly if you're looking for a job or you have a job that you're offering, we invite people to contact us. And we're especially our tribes that will help post it and share that information so that the right candidate gets to the right position.
We've been talking today with Joe Finkbonner, Executive Director of the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. Thanks for being on Metroscope, Joe.
Thank you, Gary.
Metroscope is an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.